Hello, and thank you for being with us here at New Life, our series of educational conversations with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, Nitza Mazon. Our topic today is very special. It invokes fear, and it's the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. It's the holiest day of the year, and today we're going to open new layers in this day, with the help of Dr. Lightman, in order to go through this day in the best way, so we can take our lives to a new place of a new life, better life. Nitza, please start the conversation. Yes, I'd like to start with a picture. A picture of an atmosphere. I remember a special Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, when I was a young girl. A day or two before, there was this feeling. Well, I was a secular girl. But before Yom Kippur, there was always a feeling that something special is approaching. And we started already talking about who's going to fast, who isn't, and other questions regarding Yom Kippur. When Yom Kippur would come, we felt like there's this atmosphere of holiness kind of falling on the world. We'd all dress in white. It felt like purity, like something we want to feel in our hearts. There was also a feeling that this day is when I truly felt that I was standing opposite this great force called Creator or God, and I'm trying really to understand Him, and I'm trying to understand what I could do for Him to like me. I remember this atmosphere being something that went deep into the heart when we approached the synagogue, the shul, because on that day, most everyone goes to shul, whether you're religious or not. So from afar, I'd be hearing the prayer and the special songs and chants. There was a special feeling. So today, we'd like to talk to you about Yom Kippur and understand the meaning of this holiday, the spiritual meaning of this special holiday, Yom Kippur. So maybe the first question is, what is the spiritual meaning of this special holiday, Yom Kippur, or festival? Even when I was overseas in Russia, I would often come on that day to shul in St. Petersburg, which was then called Leningrad. But otherwise, never. I was once on Simchat Torah after Sukkot. Why? I didn't know. Just because. All the Jews went. So I went. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, when I got to Israel, it's still, you know, everyone goes, and it has to do with me, although I don't know it. But I wanted to belong. So I also went to shul on Yom Kippur, especially in the evening. It's a beautiful prayer service, the Kol Nidrei service. And when I, you know, if you could put it this way, when I became religious, trying to keep what is written in the Shulchan Aruch, in the Jewish code of law, I already learned all the laws and all the customs. So this was to me the way of life. A custom. You have to keep it this way. Of course, there were all kinds of stories around it, explanations. But they didn't really move me. I went more because it had to do with my people. It's the culture, it's the faith, the religion of the people. So I went with its religion. Still, I always had serious questions. Why? What for? What's the purpose? What's the meaning of the things? And that's what gave me reason to research until I got to the wisdom of Kabbalah. In the wisdom of Kabbalah, as I now understand it, Yom Kippur is a special spiritual state in man's evolution as he develops. You need to consider it not as a day, but as a part of the circle of the year. After a year, we make an introspection, which is the slichot, the asking for forgiveness. We talked about it. And then in the Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the year, we decide that we do want a new degree, a new state, a higher one, cleaner one, more sublime. And out of that resolution, where we crown the power of bestowal as the king, the creator, the power of love and giving as the greatest, by that we start making calculations. Are we really in powers of bestowal? Are all of our qualities, which in Kabbalah divide into 10 parts, 10 sfirot, in all of these parts, do we have something we can correct and things we cannot? What's going on within us? Because you need to correct the man, the soul. And the soul is all of our desires, which for now are corrupted. We want to make them corrected. Man corrects his deeds or his souls? I didn't understand what you said. What does he correct? In our world, the deeds are what I do with my hands or the words I say. But the wisdom of Kabbalah explains that that's not the case. It's not enough. You need to correct the intention. Meaning what a person truly wants. The desire. She said in the heart. It's not enough to do something because I can do it because I became used to it. So we know that habits make it even difficult not to do something. True. And these are things that perhaps I would never do in life, but because I've grown used to it, so I do it. So these are not mitzvot, commandments anymore. It's called going by rote. The way I was taught, I was told, do it, do it, do it. So I do it now automatically. And I can't not do it. Because as for another person, it's difficult to do them. For me, it's difficult to not do them. Yes. And that's why we're not talking about that, but about the intention. Because in acts, there are no changes. You just do it. But in the intention, in your attitude to something, there are always changes. I didn't understand what you said. Whatever you do, especially in relation to other people, love your neighbor as yourself is a great rule of the Torah. And that's where we have to examine ourselves. It turns out that when I examine myself, I see how I can or cannot love others. Because the upper force is a power of bestowal and love. And our purpose is to resemble it. That's why we need to reach the degree of man. You are called man. Man is one who is similar to the Creator. So it turns out that I examine myself. How? If you ask an ordinary person, he'll tell you, where do I find a machine that x-rays me or tests me or something? There's no such thing. If you go to some great rabbi who tests me, no, you have to test yourself by yourself. And for that, you need to be like your own x-ray machine. Like an x-ray machine, you need to have a special light that tests you. It's called the light that reforms. I study Torah in a special way, which is called the Torah of Truth, or the Wisdom of Kabbalah. That's a name for the Wisdom of Kabbalah, the Torah of Truth, the law, true law. When I study it, I see the truth. I see how bad I am, and in what exactly I am bad, and what exactly I need to correct. Just as though you walk into an x-ray. It reflects you? Yes. I see it. Maybe no one else sees it. Others don't, but I do. And after I see it, it's clear to me what I need to correct. And the Torah establishes this reflection, this x-ray, in such a way that I see only those intentions and only at such a level that I can correct. And the rest, I don't. The rest may remain for the next year. So the reflection lights only what I can understand according to my level of development at the moment? Yes. And then I come to a state where from the beginning of the year, Rosh Hashanah, I move into these x-rays, which are called the 10 penitential days. And they reflect my heart, what I mean in every act in relation to others? Yes. Because we remember what we read on Rosh Hashanah, what we learned on Rosh Hashanah, on the beginning of the year, that the king has to be the greatest, the creator, the power of bestowal, the upper force, the force that envelops the whole of reality with its dominion. It's a power of bestowal and love, and it requires of us that we will come to resemblance with it, which means loving others. Yes. So these x-rays, where I kind of reflect my heart, is exactly what I intend behind all the actions toward people around me. Okay, so I have these accumulation of x-rays. Now, what do you do with them? And then I come with all those x-rays, the 10 penitential days, when we're told about Malchut going up to Bina and testing itself with respect to Bina. What do these words mean? Well, Malchut is the egoistic desire. It goes up to Bina, to the desire of bestowal. And how different we are from bestowal, from loving others, from treating others favorably, positively. And not only for ourselves. I didn't really understand. Well, in simple words, the x-rays, what did the x-rays show you? You got black and white there. So it reflects my heart. Yes, but what's black and what white? It tells you how much white you got and how much black you got. So what's black and what's white? White, let's say you have some intentions to benefit others. That's the white. That's the white. And the black is intentions for yourself that you can correct to be in favor of others. You can correct them. And then we see what we need to correct. And there's a lot to correct. Is it man's personal work? It's private work for each one. Although it relates to the public, to the others, because bestowal is toward others, because it's acts or intentions toward others. Yes, but and through the public, through others, to the Creator, from the love of man to the love of God. The Creator is inclusion of the public. It's the inclusive. It's not something outside the public. Yes, I dwell among my own people. So if I intend to the whole public, and I want to reach everyone, and I'm with them all, then I discover this general integral force, the sum total, the inclusive force, which is called Creator. That's how we discover Him in our kelim, in our vessels. And this is why we need to see on Yom Kippur, specifically to drawing ourselves toward love of others. And as outwardly go outside of ourselves as much as we can, even beyond the people of Israel, toward the rest of the world. This is why on Yom Kippur we read the book of Jonah. Wait, a second before that. I have a question. Say, in terms of, I can control my behavior, for example. I can treat a friend very nicely. But in my heart, I can't really stand that friend. But I can't change my heart. I can't influence it. I can change my actions, but not the heart. So what do I do with it? Well, that's the whole thing. That's what the Torah requires, that we correct the heart. As even Ezra wrote about the Torah, that all the mitzvot, the commandments, are only to correct the heart. Actions without the heart are worthless. So what do you do with it? What nature, the Creator, is God in Gematria, is the nature. So this huge mechanism, this huge system, system of creation, it what is counted there is only our intentions, not our desires, our intentions over the desires. How is the fast on Yom Kippur related to all that? The fasting on Yom Kippur comes in order to show us that we have to stop all self-reception and start bestowing above self-benefit toward others. I didn't get it. We said, no, I came from the exerciser, right? And they show what's black and white in my heart. Black is every time I use things for my own benefit, and white is when I can really work toward to the benefit of others. Okay, so I got the X-rays, now there's Yom Kippur. Yeah, we already halfway through the show. We only have a half an hour here. We can't talk about everything in detail. So when I come to that, I examine myself with this X-ray. 10 sefirot or 5 discernments are the same thing. The 5 discernments, we can either count Keter Chochma Bina Zera Alpin Malchut or Keter Chochma Bina Chesed Gvoah Tiferet Netzachot Yesod Malchut. Whereas Zera Alpin contains within it 5 additional sefirot. Well, it's 6 sefirot altogether. So what am I trying to say? This is why on Yom Kippur you have 5 torments: eating, drinking, no putting oil on yourself, not wearing leather, not having intercourse, and no bathing. So 5 abstentions. Most people are aware of the fast, though. Right. So then we stop receiving. In order to move to bestowal, we learn in the wisdom of Kabbalah, in order for me to do something in others' favor, I need to restrict myself. Restriction is kind of contraction on caring for myself. What's the restriction? You restrict your desires for yourself, your intentions for yourself, to your own benefit? Yes. What do you mean by restricting them? Avoiding using them. That's the black that I saw in the X-rays? Yeah, that's the first thing. Of all the black. That's the essence of Yom Kippur. I don't start working in order to bestow yet. But that day is only a restriction of myself, avoiding receiving anything for myself unless it goes through me to benefit others. That will come later. But on Yom Kippur, you just restrict. You don't eat, you don't drink, you don't bathe, you don't put creams on yourself, you don't wear leather, and you don't perform intercourse. These are symbols of necessities that a man has to do for himself. And even that he avoids. What do we come to? We come to that understanding that we read in the book of Jonah, which is the main thing on Yom Kippur. Jonah discovered that the most important and the special thing that a person has in life, although he was a prophet, but still look at the questions, that the doubts that the Creator gave him. He wanted to escape his mission to give to others, but he still had to carry it out to bring the wisdom of connection, of bestowal and love to the whole world, meaning to the people of Nineveh. And that's why on Yom Kippur we learn that we have to forget about ourselves and put ourselves totally in service, in the benefit of others, first to the people of Israel and then to the nations of the world. That's what Kabbalists explain. This is our message, our mission, our vocation by which we need to work. When we decide on that, when we agree to it, we come out of Yom Kippur and actually begin to correct ourselves toward actions of bestowal, which are already the holidays following Yom Kippur. I remember it was always emphasized on Yom Kippur. When I learned about Yom Kippur, they would say this: there are transgressions that Yom Kippur atones, which are transgressions between man and God, but everything that has to do between man and man, Yom Kippur does not atone. Meaning you can't make amends, you can't reconcile with God until you reconcile with your friends. You have to go and ask them for forgiveness and all that. Right. So what does it mean that a person can't be okay with God if he doesn't get along with people? You can't turn to the Creator if you have people that you hurt in the world. You can't bestow upon the Creator unless you bestow through people. That's the law, from the love of man to the love of God, because the Creator is hidden. You discover Him only to the extent that you give to people. That's why the wisdom of Kabbalah is also called the wisdom of the hidden. It shows us how to give to people, truly. So that after that, behind them, and after them, you will discover the Creator. If you don't know that, you'll never be given to people. You'll never be given to them properly. Meaning, and so you never give to the Creator. And you ended your life as though you did nothing right. So let's, for example, let's say I hurt a friend, and I want to reconcile her. I want to make up with her, but not in the way I did it before, because until now I could, you know, give her a call, maybe meet her and tell her, you know, it's Yom Kippur soon, I don't want us to stay, you know, on bad terms, so let's, yeah, that's beautiful, why don't I buy you a present and you'll forgive me because it's, you know, it's Yom Kippur soon, I don't want the Creator to be mad at me and to be indebted, I want to close the account. I yelled at you something, so I ask your forgiveness. And besides your forgiveness, what do you want? You want a gift? What? Perfume? I'll get you whatever you want. As long as you forgive me, even write it down that you forgive me, I'll take this note to heaven. If someone, you know, tells me something, I'll show them the evidence. You think it helps? That's my question. Well, of course not. No, we won't have time to get into these things. But I think it's very important. Why don't we do it in the next show? Well, at least, you know, you go this way, because from not for his sake to for his sake. So what does it mean, Yom Kippur? What do you need to get to? To get to love. What does it mean to love? You restrict yourself and you're willing to do for him everything, totally, in the heart, in your intention, without any thought of yourself. Whatever happens to me. This is what we are required to do. This is called true bestowal. And this you can learn only through the wisdom of Kabbalah. Our time is up. I'd like to summarize it in a sentence. The spiritual meaning of Yom Kippur is introspection. Calculating how much I need to restrict myself and prepare myself to truly reach, achieve after this day, act of bestowal and love of others, and through them, from the love of man to the love of God. This, it's a day of introspection. Thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. Thank you, Nitsa. Thank you. Introspection. Until the next time, all the best and new life. Bye.